Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome to another great Wednesday afternoon with Keeping It Brief. I hope their day is going well, and spring is there, or summer's coming, the birds are chirping, and it's sunny out, and everything is just going along merrily. And so we're in for another great afternoon of reading your brevity, and we're so looking forward to it. And today we have Pam Ray and Diane D with us, because Weaver of Dreams Kate is away in Spain on vacation, so we're hope she's having fun and enjoying herself. And the three girls, we're just going to read your poetry and enjoy ourselves reading and commenting on your wonderful work. And how are you girls?
Well, I'm awesome.
I always feel like when somebody asks two people at the same time how they are, that they both pause waiting to see who's going to comment say something first. And then they end up commenting at the same time.
Okay, so Pam, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. We don't have sunshiny weather, but I don't mind that at all because, to be honest, living in an area where there's a lot of agriculture, and I know later in the summer there's going to be a farmer's market and there's going to be people selling corn on the side of the road and buckets of strawberries, I don't mind in the least that we're having rain right now, you know, because it helps.
Yeah.
So and I am feeling good today.
It probably keeps the smell down too, eh? The fertilizer in the fields.
Yeah, exactly.
Rain.
Yep. Yeah, there may be bull sheep going on, but I can't smell it.
Yeah, because there's a lot of smelly up here. We're right in a agricultural zone here too, so where I live, farms like all around, and yeah, we smell it this time of year. And Diane, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing so awesome, like awesomely great, that, you know, any better and it would be like illegal or taxable. But I am awesome. And Pam, you know, like, nice shout out for Rain there, because Rain gets a crap break in life, and Rain deserves a break. So I'm glad you're enjoying the rain today.
Absolutely.
I have a question, Diane. I was wondering about that. I know the Maple Leafs aren't in the running anymore. I think they're out, eh? But the Edmonton Oilers still in?
Oh, the big thing going on in Alberta right now is back in Gretzky days, we had what was called the Battle of Alberta, where Calgary and Edmonton, the two main cities in Alberta, we battled it out because everyone wants the cup, and it's quite the battle. And it starts tonight. For the first time in 31 years, we have the Battle of Alberta, Edmonton and Calgary.
Okay. Still in the running. They're still in the playoffs?
Yeah,
the Oilers?
We're in the second round against Calgary, and the winner of this goes on to the conference finals.
Oh, cool. So, yeah. So you're still watching, like, hockey night? Ooh!
Well, you know, it's always a toss-up between hockey and the late-night poet shows. Like, it's always a toss-up. I can't say which one I'm going to do either time. Maybe it depends on the game or it depends on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And when poetry overtakes hockey in my life, that's huge.
Yeah. Yeah, it always is.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, we have a board packed, girls. And so we better start this show on the road and kick it off. So, Diane, do you have our first piece up?
I'm just going to grab it. And it is a carryover. And it is from the Love Show. And it is by Sherry Ann. And Naomi, would you like to read that one, please?
Yeah.
Find Me Love.
Okay, by Sherry Ann. I'm so happy we finally got her piece up. I've been sending links for the show for like the past two shows to her. And, you know, and we have her piece was always carried over. So I'm so happy. Okay, Find Me Love by Sherry Ann. Come take my hand through night and day. Find me where the ocean waves break. You'll know it's me once our eyes meet. You've seen my hazel eyes before in your sleep. My heart is open, waiting for you. Follow my heartbeat across the golden shore. End poem. Oh, that was beautiful. I just love, you know, the last lines. My heart is open waiting for you. Follow my heartbeat across the golden shore. Just beautiful. What did you think, Pam?
You know, this is absolutely beautiful. I love the gesture of reaching out your hand. Come take my hand. It's such an intimate gesture. And when the person accepts it in return, it's on their behalf a gesture. Well, it's a gesture of trust on both halves, you know, to take a journey together, to take that first step of a journey. I really also like how she says, you've seen my hazel eye for in your sleep. There's a real sense of two people who were destined for each other. It's a beautiful rite all the way through and very well done.
Oh, indeed. You know, and it's great observation there, Pam, you know, in the with the gesture there, the hand, great, amazingly well said there. And Diane, your thoughts?
Oh my goodness, this was this is worth the wait. It's beautiful and so fitting to the image, but so standalone. And the title with the image, you know, Find Me Love, like she's going looking for love through the footprints. And you know, just drifting away where the ocean waves break and finding her love and letting her love know, when you find me, you will know. We will know. And just follow my heartbeat across the golden shore. It's beautiful, you know, reaching out for love, just beautiful.
Oh, indeed, yeah. And so, you know, it's so sweet and tender, beautiful right there by Sherry Ann. Just bravo. So glad that you posted that and we got to read that for you. Just amazing, right? And what do you have for us next, Diane?
Next, we have another carryover, and it is by Clay Paper, and it's called Love. Now, Pam, would you like to get that a read?
I would be happy to. All right. Let me just put the link in Late Night Poet. And this is Love by Clay Paper. And it goes like this. Stretch legs, slow beats, steady breath. Head on the lap, fingers fishing hair, slow moan. A cloud hiding the sun, licking hands and faces, a grunt, a smell, wagging the tail, love. Okay. Well, that one's up in the humor one as well.
Yeah, you know, it was so beautiful, you know. But, of course, we do feel this kind of you know, of love when you know, with our pets, and especially with dogs, you know. I had a dog, and you know, when she passed away, oh my gracious, it was so you know, I was so overwhelmed with grief, you know. We had her for, oh my gracious, nearly like 12 years or so. And, yeah, and she was my jogging partner. And, you know, I didn't even have to have her on a leash. She just followed me. And, you know, I didn't even call her. I just snapped my fingers and she came. She stayed beside me. She'd stop at a red light, start again when I started to jog. I mean, she was the best dog ever, German Shepherd. I just loved her dog, that dog. But I mean, fingers fishing hair. Wow, isn't that amazing? You know, you know, the slow moan, cloud hiding the sun. And then you sort of think of an animal when it gets down to licking hands and faces, and then a grunt, a smell, and then, of course, wagging the tail. You know, love. But really, at the beginning, I really thought this was about a person. But just a great, great write here by Clay Paper. And Diane, what are your thoughts?
I love this. You know, Clay Paper, what a way to take us on a journey and then hit me with a baseball bat. I did not expect that. And, you know, it was when I got, you know, I'm reading this and hearing this, and it's like licking hands and faces, a grunt. Okay, I know men have done that. Okay, a smell. Okay, maybe. And then wagging a tail. I couldn't see that one happening. And that's when I knew it was a puppy. And it was like so awesome. It was the love for a little dog and the love back. And the way it shows, he or she shows the love, and, you know, it's so true. They do. Like I don't have pets, but my family have a couple cats. And when I go to their house, there's this little one. She just loves me, follows me everywhere, particularly to the tap in the kitchen because I let her drink water drip. And, you know, it's like it's an unknowing love unless you've had that with an animal, and it's so well described here. Excellent job.
Oh yeah, indeed. You know, they show us so much love. Pam, what are your thoughts?
Well, yep. I have to say this completely threw me for a loop. I did enjoy it. And she pulled off cleverly the, first of all, wonderful light on the love of a pet, you know, on a dog. And I really like that she wrote about a different kind of love. But yeah, the first few lines I was thinking, wow, this is pretty sexy. And then I do admit I still hadn't caught up when it got to licking hands and face. At that point, all I thought was, okay, that's kind of kinky, but sure, you know, something for everyone. And but yeah, I did catch up by the end line. But wonderful, right? I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, just beautifully written all the way through. I remember now Clay Paper messaged me and with the, you know, when the theme love came on, and I remember way back that poet messaged me and they asked me, is it okay if it's about a dog? And I said, oh yeah, absolutely. You know, we can love our dogs, you know. But I had forgotten that, but it came back to me, you know, when you reread that. So bravo, Clay Paper, amazing, amazing, right? And Diane, what do you have for us next?
Well, next we have another carryover by Sherry Ann, and because we may not get back to it, I'm going to post it now so we can have a go at that one. So it is called Love's Haunting Memories, and I will go ahead and read that. Forever's etched in ivory, stream like matchsticks never lit. Sleepwalking, shrouded in linen sheets and cedarwood ghosts. Our sparrow death. Warped like soundtrack static end poem.
Oh, wow. Wasn't that beautiful, beautiful reading? Like, I mean, you know, just stunning, the use of the words. You know, the forever etched in ivory, strewn like matchsticks never lit. I could reread the whole thing. I'm not going to, but you know, it's just amazing. And that was an amazing read there, Diane. And you know, just absolutely beautiful, right? The metaphors in here are just amazing, the use of language. And Pam, your thoughts?
Well, I have to agree. This is absolutely beautiful. I love the way she staggered her lines to create a sense of movement and space within the poem. This is beautiful all the way through. It's such a tone of sadness. It really struck me where she said, "Strewn like matchsticks never lit." And instantly I thought of the story of the little matchstick girl and how as she was dying, she'd light these matches and she'd see like the most beautiful visions of Christmas and of her grandmother. And matchsticks never lit just remind me of those hopes and dreams that never got to be seen, you know, before the end of life. And beautifully written and very well done.
Indeed. Me too. My mind went there to the matchstick, to the little girl. Your thoughts, Diane, on this beautiful, right?
Beautiful indeed. I'm really appreciating Sherianne's work. And the way, I agree, the way she staggered the lines puts emphasis in the pieces, in the three metaphors, you know, strewn like matchsticks never lit, like tossed aside, and sleepwalking shrouded in linen sheets and cedarwood ghosts. I can just imagine her getting out of bed, walking across the floor with the sheets trailing behind her, and just the imagery and the metaphor of walking through life and hearing the creaking of the cedarwood, the love's haunting memories. It's just beautifully done. Beautiful title, really well written. I'm very impressed.
Yeah, indeed. Great observation, great comments, both of you. And where do we go next, Diane?
Okay, we will go to, I'm just trying to skip over the audios, which is correct, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we're sorry. We'll have those audios on our next show. First up, first thing.
Absolutely. Okay, then we have a piece called My First Crush by Laughing Soul. Naomi, would you like to give that a read?
Yes,
I shouldn't have pulled that. That one has an audio. My bad.
Oh, yeah, I just saw that it did, yeah. So we'll wait on that.
Yeah, just give me what's up next here is without an audio. We have Notice Me by Random Scribbler. Naomi, would you like to give that one a read?
Okay. Notice Me. Hey, my pet, how am I looking? Ah, my pet, simply smashing. What about the fit? It's a total hit. Color combination? Seems like God's creation. Makeup? What say? Flawless, I say. Do the accessories match? Oh, you are such a catch. Will the shoes do? No one chooses better than you. Listen, my bunny. What is it, honey? Could you please keep the phone aside? Why keep it aside? Because you are not attentive. Who says so? I am quite attentive. See properly what I'm wearing? Well, hell, what are you wearing? Yep. A bathrobe, you silly oaf.
very good.
I guess we entered the humor, right?
I hope so.
Oh, this is great. Oh, so funny. Boy, you know, it reflects, you know, when you know, men, they just answer anything, and they're not really attentive, and they're not really looking. And, you know, she just nailed that. Just is so well. This is just amazing. It just made me so laugh. You know, listen, my bunny, what is it, honey? Yeah, I'm wearing a bathrobe, you silly oaf. Just amazing. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, yeah. I've seen this one before, and it's worth hearing and reading again. I did like how it, the whole humor is, you know, the punchline at the end where she reminds the guy that, you know, you're not really paying attention because all I'm wearing is a bathrobe. And I thought this was wonderful use of a dialogue and a back and forth conversation between the two characters. So just absolutely a fun write and very well done.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. The conversation was amazing. You know, it was really realistic and well done. And Diane, your thoughts on this write?
Oh, this is a little beauty. I like this. Made me smile all the way through and laugh, actually, at the end. It was out loud laughing. And just the part that I found the funniest, you know, was color combination seems like God's creation. Makeup, what say? Flawless, I say. I mean, to be able to pull that off and get a conversation going and you can see the persona of the male and the female. And I mean, it's beautifully done, wonderfully written, and it keeps you hooked. It's a winner. It's great. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah. Awesome comment there, Diane. And where, yeah, just an amazing, amazing write. Thank you so much for putting this in, Random Scribbler. So where are we going next,
well,
Diane?
Well, next on the list is a piece by Diane D.
Oh.
The Earlier It Gets Late by Diane D. And I'll go ahead and read that. It's called The Earlier It Gets Late. Yeah, when you get old, you think differently. You start thinking old. Like when you remember your childhood, you think in black and white. And it's an overnight old. One day it's Amos and Andy on the vacuum tube radio. The next day someone leaves the lights on and you threaten to call Google. Oh, yeah. And a few things you may notice is that you now have a favorite spatula, that the second hand is missing, that anyone you know is old, and the earlier it gets late. End quote.
You have the speaker spatula. That's so true. Oh my gracious, I have one, like my favorite one. I keep it just for the eggs, you know. And then, you know, the one that I use just for the steaks and the meat. Oh, that's so true about the spatula. And everyone you know is old. So true. And you really don't realize that you're getting old, eh? But you look around and you say, oh, my gracious, everybody is old. This is so funny. So well written, so well expressed all through Diane. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, I enjoyed this. It's very relatable and an excellent write on how, you know, getting old just all of a sudden hits us. And it's not about if you're looking in the mirror and all those physical things you see, but those little things that you never really thought about that all of a sudden become a part of, you know, adulthood, like a favorite spatula, or, you know, practically having an anxiety attack when they, you know, make a change at your favorite grocery store. It reminds me of that meme, that joke that says, I saw an old person today and then realized we went to school together. So just a absolutely fun write and very well done, Diane.
Oh, yeah, well said. Well, I agree 100%. Well said there, Pam. Just a great, great right, Diane. So funny. And where are you taking us next, Diane?
Well, next we are going to read Divine by Kitty the Naughty Poet. And Pam, would you like to give that a read?
Absolutely. I'd be happy to. Let me just make sure to grab that and All right. And all right. This is Divine by Kitty the Naughty Poet, and it goes like this. I can't wait to have you inside me. I'm going to squeeze out every drop. My mouth begins to water. You're looking so tanned and hot. Your smell is divine. I want you to be mine. You take you make my insides quiver with delight as your warmth slips in the back of my throat. I remember why I want you all the time. Oh, you sweet cup of tea of mine. End poem.
Very, very sensual tea that was. Oh, boy. Yeah, it's right to the last drop. I thought we were going somewhere else. Very, very clever. What did you think, Diane?
Well, you know, I'm a coffee drinker, but I may just switch to tea. This is solid. This is awesome. I first looked back because I thought, did that go into the love category? And I made a mistake. And then I'm reading it and get to the bottom and it's like, oh, now this was worth the ending. This was just so awesome. And took me right into, okay, this is a love story. I did mess up. But no, perfect, beautiful humor, excellent humor, great ending, very well done.
Well said indeed there, Diane. Just absolutely wonderful ending indeed with that punchline. And Pam, you read that so wonderfully. What did you think?
I enjoyed this. I knew the ending was going to be something different, that most likely it would be food related. But I liked the way she pulled it off. It was very well done. You know, wonderful imagery, wonderful, you know, the idea of setting the tone and making the reader go in a different direction and then bringing that to us to that sip of that tasty cup of tea. So very well done.
Yeah, the sweet cup of tea of mine. very well written, and bravo, bravo, Kitty the Naughty Poet. And thank you so much for writing every time for our show. It's so appreciated. And what do you have for us next, Diane?
Well, next we have Service Up by Mamua. And Naomi, would you like to give that a read?
Yeah, Service Up. It was said that women should go and serve men. So for that matter, on a silver platter, she served up a side of Ben. End poem. Oh, boy. We're going to have laughs this afternoon. What did you think of that write by Mamya Pam?
Oh, I enjoyed that. Mamya is so great at dark humor. And I really enjoyed the twist on the word serve. Like in the first line, the couple lines, the idea of, you know, you serve men and be their servant. But she rather instead decides to serve them for dinner, you know, offer them up as a main course to her guests. So wonderful, dark, twisted humor, and very well done.
Indeed. Yeah, very, very dark, but, you know, so funny. And Diane, your thoughts?
Well, it starts with the title. What a terrific title, Service Op. And like Pam, I'm like, you know, reading it was said that women should go and serve men. And it reminds me of this quote that I often use in speaking and stuff is, Muhammad Ali once said that service to others is the price we pay for the room we rent on earth. But it used to be that there was a controversy because it was service to men or something like that was talked about, and they changed it to service to others, or he changed it to service to others. And that made me think of men, yeah, like Pam, you know, we serve the men, and then she goes and serves up a side of Ben, and I'm like, okay, I like that kind of service too. So it was so well done, very, very creative, but very appropriate for the topic.
Very witty indeed. And Diane, where are you taking us next?
Okay, where am I going next? It is, you can tell that I'm slowly going over here. It is A Summer Day by Cedar Chapman. And I'll go ahead and read that one. Poor boys wandered on a humid autumn day. Nowhere to go, so everywhere was a destination. Sallow skimmed swiftly while bees buzzed by. Next to a dandelion sat a fresh dog pie. We smirked devilish grins and formed a circle, a firecracker planted smack dab in the middle. There we stood as the ember crawled, sweat beating on our brow, our eyes frozen big to the haunting sizzle of the cyclops worm. A banshee screamed, and we scattered like ants. But one brave to stand as brown shrapnel splattered, his mouth open. The cowards who ran rolled on the grass, laughing hysterically. End poem.
Oh, boy, yuck. Imagine getting that right in your mouth. I have to say, wow, you know, this is humorous, but his imagery throughout this whole thing is just amazing. You know, I'm starting to discover Cedar Chapman as a poet, and he is one amazing writer, I can tell you. Everything that I've written, that I've read from him so far, amazing, amazing, amazing. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, this is definitely a fun write. On, you know, it has, I like how it's the young boys camping together in the kind of play that boys oftentimes get into, that's very mischievous and the kind of memories that last a lifetime. So very well done.
Yeah, makes me think of a couple of things that I did in my time, but... Diane, you read that so amazingly. What were your thoughts?
Oh my goodness, that was hard to read without laughing out loud. That was so amazing. And the part where I lost me was of the cyclops worm. Oh my goodness, the visual that went through my head is like, stop it, Cedar. But at the same time, I want to read more. You know, it was so well done and beautifully written. The alliteration, I love alliteration, and especially when it's followed so closely together but not overdone in a piece. And this was so well done. Swallows skim swiftly while bees buzz by. It's just really well done. Great job. I'm really impressed.
Yeah, it's true. The alliteration there is amazing. Just an amazing write, Cedar Chapman, and bravo, bravo, bravo. And where are you taking us next, Diane?
Next, we have Am a Poor Little Squirrel by Clay Paper. And Pam, would you like to give that a read? Or am I supposed to be the one asking that?
What's that?
I said, or am I supposed to be the one asking that? Half a show and I'm wondering now. Go ahead,
yeah.
Pam.
Yeah.
All right. Yes, I would be happy to. Am a Poor Little Squirrel by Clay Paper. Am a poor little squirrel scampering through your backyard gravel. Hold no ill will. You feed only a long bill. Your attempts to conceal a real test to my skill. Am no Kill Bill. But have bloody strong will. Not a run on the mill. I'll somehow take my fill. Am a poor little squirrel scampering through your backyard gravel. Tight lids, wired frames, baffles wrap around, spiced up, slink up, wink or dunk. You may even use a safflower seed, am no one to grovel. I'll find a way through your gravel. Am a poor little squirrel scampering through your backyard gravel. End poem.
Oh, those squirrels, they can do some damage. I know that, you know, they get into the electrical wires and they can do, you know, so much damage. But it's so true, like in this right, you know, they get through everything. Like, but we don't have them around here, but I know some people that really, really, you know, they don't know what to do anymore with the poor little squirrels. You know, I just love the spice up, slink up, wink, or dunk. His play with words here is just amazing. What did you think, Diane?
I enjoyed this. This was a cute little write. You know, scampering through your backyard gravel, and I like the repetition of the will, the bill, the ill sounding continuance. The repetition of that just made it go through, and I think the fact that it was used in the first stanza but not in the next stanza just added to it, just enhanced on the understanding of the poem. And I love the way the backyard was described. Tight lids, I'm thinking probably the garbage cans, squirrels can't get in. Wired frames, probably a coiled barbed wire, not barbed wire, but like a metal fence. And I do like the use of words that put sounds in my head, you know, slink up, wink, dunk. I like those words. They fit well in a piece like this, really well done.
Yeah, great observation. Yeah, they do indeed. They add, you know, they add so much to the fun, the delightfulness of the poem, the playfulness. And Pam, what are your thoughts on this write?
I do enjoy this. I do like how Diane brought up the kind of inner and end rhyme. I like the reference to the movie to Kill Bill. Am No Kill Bill. I thought that was a great reference. You know, I also thought it really captured the idea of how, you know, squirrels can be very mischievous, very intelligent. You know, there's this guy on YouTube who actually, I can't remember his name or the name of his channel, but I used to watch with my kids. He actually set up obstacle courses for the squirrels in his yard to go through in order to get to the food. And filmed it, and it was fun to see how some of the squirrels got through that really fast and some didn't, not so fast, but they were persistent. And that's what this reminds me of, is how they can be very persistent. So excellent, fun write, and very well done.
Oh yeah, they can be real fast, I'm telling you. But, you know, but I still love to feed them peanuts. I just love them. But, you know, if they were around and if they were eating away on my trees and my wires, I don't know if I would love them as much. But, you know, out in the woods when I'm taking a walk, I just love them. But great right there. And Diane, what is up next?
Up next, we have Animal Japes by Matt Jameson. And I'll go ahead and read that one because I can't remember who I asked last, so then I'll get my way out of there. Okay, Animal Japes. I met a mouse by my house, although it may have been a rat. Anyway, enough of that. It was swallowed by my cat. And it's silly, but my cat, Jelly, has not been the same for weeks. As when she asks for her dinner, she doesn't meow, she squeaks. I met a pig near my digs, although it may have been a hog. Anyway, enough of that. It was swallowed by my dog. And it's silly, but my dog, Billy, has become quite out of sorts. As when he asks for his dinner, he doesn't bark, he snorts. And boom.
Clever little right. Just so playful and so delightful. You know, this would be something that, you know, I'd read to the kids in class. You know, they just, you know, love this and make draw pictures. I, you know, when I had poetry pieces or literature pieces, I always get them to know if they're, to test their understanding, draw pictures associated with the rites. And this would have been a great, great one for that. So just bravo, Matt, on this rite. Pam, your thoughts?
Oh, I very much enjoyed this one. First of all, I had to look up the word Jake. You know, so whenever I have learned about a new word from a poem, I absolutely love that. This is great rhyme and flow, wonderful in and enter rhyme. And it very much reminded me in its rhyme pattern and in its content of the classic book, There Was an Old Lady Who Swallowed a Fly, which was one of my favorites from childhood. You know, so, you know, I say that this one definitely scores 5 stars with me. So excellent write, great humor, and very well done.
And Pam, can I ask, what does it mean, Japes?
A Japes is either one of two things. It's a practical joke or it's something said in jest or mockery.
Oh, okay. Well, I learned a new word, too. That's great.
There you go.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. And thank you, Matt, because we both learned a new word. And that was a great, great read, by the way, Diane. And your thoughts on this great write?
Oh, that was an enjoyable read. That was, you know, I enjoyed this going through. I felt like I'm reading a Dr. Seuss piece to my little one, you know, and I can just picture the cover of the book with the mouse in the house and the pig in the digs and Billy the silly dog. Like, just it's a great little. I think it's a awesome kids' write and would make a great kids' book. Again, 5 stars, like Pam said.
Yeah, it would. It would fit right into a kid's book for sure. And Diane, what piece do we have up next?
Up next, we have...
That one we read it last week.
Oh, you did tell me that too, didn't you?
Yeah.
All right. Well, next we are going to have... It is called Blindsided by Barbara G. And Pam, would you like to read that?
Oh, I would be absolutely happy to. I do enjoy Barbara G's poetry. I have to say this has definitely been a great lineup of poetry today. So very cool. All right. Blindsided by Barbara G. And... it goes like this. He clipped me on my blind side, so I braked and spun around. He revved up his engine and said, "Baby, nice rear end." he'd broken my side mirror, so I didn't see his shifty hand. I kicked him in the radials and knocked the air right out of him and home.
Oh, you go, girl. Oh, this is just hilarious. And I read it before, but it just was funny the second time around. Yeah, just amazing, you know. More power to you, Barbara. What did you think about this write, Diane?
What I think about this is just, you go, girl. It's written for a contest. It was written for bad blind dates. And, I mean, you can't get badder. It's, like, that's as bad as bad. And I kicked them in the radials. I mean, okay, that's an image. I love it. It's like, okay, girl, kick them in the radials. That's a bad blind date. And what an experience, but well written, well described.
Oh, yeah. And I just love, you know, how she used engine and radials, you know, and, you know, to go along with the car, you know. And it's just amazing, amazing ride all the way through. Pam, you read that so amazingly. What did you think?
Oh, this one cracked me up. This was great humor in a brevity. I really like how she stayed consistently with the driving and the car metaphors. You know, I kicked him in the radials. It actually reminded me of a time when I was in my early 20s and me and my best friend had gone out. And my best friend was one of those, you know, God bless her, because she just, you know, she was very flirtatious, especially when drunk. And these two guys came up to us, and one kissed her on the back of the neck. And, of course, she was all flirty and smiley. And his friend kissed me on the back of the neck, and I do not do well if people sneak up on me, you know, or if I feel like they snuck up on me. So as soon as he kissed me in the back of the neck, I elbowed him hard in the stomach. The look on his face and his friend's face, like, they just did not think it was going to go that way. I really enjoyed this write. Very well done.
Yeah, very well done indeed. Yeah, I just enjoyed it so much. Bravo, Barbara, and thanks for the laugh. Where are we going next, Diane?
Okay, next we are going to, I'm going to post Elegant in Motion in France by Chris Turfette. And Naomi, if you could read it and then you guys could both comment, I will be right back.
Okay. Yeah, this one, I think she said to read the AN first. So in the AN, she says the French for trainers, sneakers, sport shoes, running shoes, is baskets. Yeah, we say that here in Quebec, des baskets. And due to basketball, no doubt, just a bit of fun inspired by a conversation with the poem written by Matt Jameson. See here. We won't check the poem, but okay. And this goes, Elegance in Motion in France. In the country of France, of chic wine and slow dance, you may just look askance as we run in the street with baskets on our feet. That does sound funny, baskets on your feet. But, you know, it is a real word for running shoes, because we use it here, no basket. We pronounce it des baskets. And, but, you know, yeah, in English, for an English person, it would sound really funny running in the street with baskets on your feet. So, Pam, what did you think of this write by Chris?
I enjoyed this. First of all, really nice rhyme pattern. I liked that a lot. You know, and it's the funny thing is to me, this poem would have cracked me up and made me laugh, even if she didn't have the A-N, you know, because I wouldn't have realized, I didn't know that the, you know, shoes or tennis shoes or sneakers in France or, you know, in your area of Canada are called baskets. So in my head, I have this image of people, you know, running around with baskets on their feet, which there's something just so delightful about ridiculousness. But, you know, when she put, having the A-N there is really great, because when you get that explanation, you realize that it's a very clever play on words and a play on how language is different, you know, expresses itself differently. So excellent write and very well done. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. And, you know, it stands out even more because she's, you know, Elegance in Motion in France. I just love the title. And, you know, of course, she brings up the chic, the wine, the slow dance, everything that's chic and, you know, so beautiful and so high, like high maintenance or whatever, you know, elegant. About France, and then, you know, running with baskets on our feet, so it just sticks out even more. What did you, Diane? You're back, I think. So, what are your thoughts on this? Maybe she isn't back, Diane.
That Diane, I was muted. Me bad.
Oh,
Elegance in Motion in France. This is an enjoyable piece. I kind of caught the author's notes in and out of it, but I'm looking at her notes about due to basketball, you know, and I have held a pair of Michael Jordan autographed basketball shoes, and they are baskets. They are as big as baskets. I mean, massive. And so I found it so funny when she said that, because I imagined Michael Jordan basketball shoes, right? So, I mean, it's just so well done. Such a great metaphor and really quite humorous. I enjoyed it.
So much so. Bravo, Chris. Just an amazing, amazing fun write. And Diane, where are we going next?
Next, we are going to Bing Bong Bong by Woodle. And I'll go ahead and read that one. Bing Bong Bong. Bing Bong Bong. Song the same song. What's wrong with Bong Bong? Ting tongue, tied, twisted tongue. Oh, bing bong. Oh, da, ding dong. End poem.
That was quite a train tongue twister. But, you know, just the sound of the words themselves makes this so funny. Just amazing, Budo. What did you think, Pam?
I enjoyed this. It very much brought to mind the poem On the Ning Nang Nong by Spike Milligan, who is one of my absolute favorite humorous poets. And I like that he caught that vibe, that play with sounds and words and rhyme in a brevity. You know, this just, you know, this is great. It's very well done.
ting tong, twisted, tied twisted tong. It is for sure. Diane, you read that so amazingly. What are your thoughts?
Oh, as soon as I saw the title on this, I thought, okay, I'm reading this. I want to read this. And I'm reading it, and, you know, I'm like, okay, stay on this, because this is a getter. And, you know, I missed on the ding dong. And I think I said, oh, the ding dong. But it's like the way the words, even the supporting words, on, da, hola, like, you know, this is just so amazingly done, and it gets a jingle. It's like I could probably, if I could play guitar, I could probably do a little jingle on this one. It's just, it's so awesomely done.
Oh, indeed. I wonder if Budo played a little guitar when he thought of a little rhythm on the guitar when he wrote this. Just amazing, Budo. And Diane, where are you taking us next?
Next, we are going to Marshmallow by Kishmaret. And Naomi, would you like to give that one a go?
Of course. Marshmallow by Kishmai. Candy frosted marshmallow, soft and sweet, burnt mellow. Campfire warms the hollows with the friends' stories to follow. Stories to spice the night, circled around the bonfire, not fright. Competing scary stories in flight, tingling spines in plight. But with sugary rush to wake late, these stories burned in my wake. Memories burst from this sweet burnt mallow, leaving my heart in shallow. Now I wallow. End poem. Oh, it's a cute little poem. You know, just took me back to all those bonfires when I was young and still now with my grandchildren and, you know, with the family and my kids. And when we gather around, you know, the bonfires all the time in the summertime in my backyard, just amazing. I just love, you know, the candy frosted marshmallow, soft and sweet, burnt mellow. Campfire warms the hollows. Just amazing little write here by Kishmai. What did you think, Pam?
I enjoyed this. I like how it had kind of a bit of dark humor, how she used the marshmallow as a metaphor. I'm one of those people that when I roast marshmallows at a campfire, I like to purposely set them on fire for a couple seconds or so, you know, to really get the outside burned and the inside, like, melty, gooey. And I like how she reminds us that oftentimes in life, that sugary sweetness often turns dark. So just very clever and very well done.
Amazing. You just made me think my youngest son, Brandon, he wouldn't eat his marshmallows till they were all burnt, you know, set on fire and burnt. So he's the same way. When he was young, I was saying, what are you doing? He says, I like it like that.
Yeah.
And Diane, your thoughts on Kishmai's the right?
Oh, just sorry. I'm just getting back from checking my sugars because that one just raised my sugar levels. Marshmallow, candy frosted marshmallow, soft and sweet. Like, oh yeah, delicious piece. I, you know. And then what a way, you know, to describe a bonfire, not with the fire or, you know, the crackling or the noises or anything, but with the marshmallow. And everybody in their life can relate to that marshmallow campfire. And I just think she picked a wonderful title to describe a campfire around it. And just an awesome little write. Very, very much enjoyed this one.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Just took us back. Oh, summer's coming and bonfires are coming. Although we do them in the winter too sometimes. So, but so much more fun in the summer with marshmallows and s'mores, of course. So, Diane, where are you taking us?
Okay, next we're going into a piece called Close Call by Lockdown Larks. And Pam, would you like to give that a read?
I would be absolutely happy to. All right, let me refresh here. Oh, you don't have it posted yet.
No. Sure do.
You put it somewhere else, Diane.
Oh, did
you put it in LNC.
Okay, that's where I put it. Let me. I'm off and running. When you say where do we go next, I really take that literally.
Here, I just put it back in it. It's all fixed. No problem.
Thank you very much.
All right. And this is Close Call by Lockdown Larks. And it goes like this. To ICU cubicle you go, beeping, beeping, systolic low, sleeping, sleeping. Outside ice cubes call, need to distress, caressing a cure-all, now both in a mess. End poem.
Outside ice cubes call, need to distress, caressing a cure-all, now both in a mess. Makes me, you know, the beeping makes me think, you know, that, you know, when I was young, I used to have tonsillitis and all repetitively, I mean, 4 or 5 times a year. And they used to take, my mom used to, I had really high spikes of fever. And my mom used to rush me to the hospital and they'd put me in these ice baths. Oh, I'm still traumatized still today. But,
goodness.
That makes me think of it. Yeah, I don't know if they do that anymore. They used to do that. They just put you right into the ice bath, you know. And I see that this must be in the love, a love poem, because it says love, sad, brevity, rhyme. And it has to do with cancer. Your thoughts on this, right, Diane?
Oh, this was a nice brevity. Sad I see Close Call and to ICU cubicle you go, and then in the author's notes talking about it was after her cancer operation, and then goes on to say outside ice cubes call, need to de-stress, caressing a cure-all, now both in a mess. So he went and put a couple ice cubes in a glass and had a drink to deal with the operation, and thankfully only one hangover. And it's like, you know, stress is that kind of stress will do all kinds of things for us. And ice cubes call us all. And excellent, right? Well described and good on you. Like, way to go, Lockdown Larks.
Oh, yeah, I have to applaud him for his wording, his wordplay in this, right? You know, the use of words, just amazing. What do you think, Pam?
You know, I really, I enjoyed this. I to me, there was a humor in the raw honesty because, you know, to be honest, sometimes what gets us through those difficult times in life is those hangovers and those bad choices we make, is to laugh, look back and laugh at ourselves. And I think that's what this does a wonderful job of doing, is looking back and laughing at himself. So excellent, right, and very well done.
Oh, yeah, well done indeed. Well, such a well-written piece. Thank you so much, Lockdown Lark. And where are you taking us next, Diane?
Oh, next we're going to the brevity room. And we are looking at You Know the Ones by Grizzly Bear. And Naomi, would you like to give that a read?
Yeah, You Know the Ones. She's standing there in her Levi's, you know the ones. The low rise make me cries, tiny size button flies, holes revealing ass and thighs that give me my belly butterflies. Trying hard to close my eyes, but all I do is fantasize. She licks her lips like I'm the prize. Then suddenly I realize, alarm goes off, it's time to rise. I brush my teeth and exercise, then shower off all the lies. Doorbell rings to my surprise. She's standing there in her Levi's. You know the one. And boom. This is just amazing. Well written. From the dream to reality. Yeah, just so well, you know. What a joy to read, too. You know, it was just such a pleasant read. Just such a fun read all the time. The rhyme was just spot on. Just bravo, Grizzly Bear. Pam, what are your thoughts on this write?
Very enjoyable. I like this write on dreams come true. And I like that he makes us realize that the first part was all a dream. And then to have him open the door, she's standing there, her Levi's, you know, the one. And you know, the how he just leaves us there hanging in suspense. So great way to end the poem. Very fun and very well done.
Absolutely. Just such a playful, fun write. So, and so funny. Diane, your thoughts?
Oh, this was this is a gem. You know the ones. Yeah, we know the ones. We all know those red tab Levi's, low-rise Levi's, and everything else that goes in the package of someone wearing them. We all know the ones. And I love the repetition of the first and last stanza, you know the ones. And it's like such a, you know, I could visualize sitting in a mall just watching this one in revealing ass and thighs that gives his belly butterflies. And it's like, this is so well done. And the meter was just awesome throughout. It was like, it flowed. And Naomi, your read was awesome. You did a wonderful job carrying the meter through. It was an excellent write. Really, really good write.
Yeah, indeed. And so bravo, Grizzly Bear, and I hope we see more writes from you for sure. And where are you taking us next, Diane?
Next, we are going to Catfish by the writer C. And I'll go ahead and read that one if I can scroll up. Okay. I wish I stopped when I had the chance, but I was a sucker for a fairy tale romance, feeling good, looking my best. I put 5620 in my GPS, but my feelings produced the genre with mystery and suspense, because I'm sitting at the location, staring at an empty lot and a fence. End poem.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy, he missed the date there. Pam, your thoughts on this poem?
Well, I thought this was a great, fun write on being duped, on being catfished, because you believe somebody online. But, you know, I also like that it mentions the using the GPS, because to me it has a duality and it's humor. The first part, the idea of the humor of being catfished, and then, but also the humor of how GPSs can lead us wrong. So excellent write and very well done.
Yeah. I have a couple of stories with GPSs. Oh, my gracious, you're so right on that. And Diane, your thoughts?
Oh, my goodness. Now, this took me back to a day when I wasn't catfished, but I was trying to buy a jersey, an Oilers jersey for my son for his birthday. And I was for some reason getting upset with the person who was selling it to me. So they gave me an address. And no kidding, I was in a back lot on the back of a school, didn't know how to get out of it, and never did get the jersey. So I guess I did get catfished. But it was, you know, this took me back, and you know, so well described. I put 5620 in my GPS, and, you know, just really well written and well described, and staring at an empty lot in a fence. That was just excellent. What great ending.
Yeah, indeed. Just a real funny ride here with an, you know, excellent, excellent title there. And I hope, you know, this is a new writer for us, and I hope, yeah, we see a lot more from him. And Diane, where are you taking us next?
Okay. Next, we are going to Coaxing Slumber by Mamua. And Pam, would you like to give that a read?
I'd be happy to. Coaxing Slumber by Mamua. Tossing, turning, sleep not forthcoming. Little pill, white pill, can't sleep still. Daydreaming, nightmaring, sleep is all I'm craving. In the horizon, light is dawning. The Sandman is coming. End poem.
I just love, you know, little pill, white pill, can't sleep still. Oh, I know those little pills. Oh, my gracious, you know. My mind is, you know, I have ADD and with hyperactivity. So, you know, I can't sleep. My mind just goes around in circles all the time. And, you know, I have to take these pills to sleep. And so this brought me back, you know, to my reality, you know, just trying to go to sleep. What did you think of this, right, Diane?
Oh, I just felt the pain. I felt the pain of trying to sleep, coaxing slumber. No kidding. I mean, I had that in a piece of my past, and I couldn't sleep. Little pill, white pill, any pill. I mean, I was like, I was heavy, 400 pounds. So little white pill, 20 of them didn't do me any good, you know. So I so relate to the trying to sleep and everything in the way it's written. Sleep is all I'm craving. The Sandman is coming. And I would lie there like that and try and coax sleep in, and now today is like, you know, I sleep more than I should, and I have no trouble with it, and I don't have to, you know, do the little pill. But man, those little pills, when the time was there, they sure do that sleep thing justice sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And Pam, your thoughts?
Well, this was definitely it was relatable. I love the way she presented this with the inner and end rhyme. Little pill, white pill, I can't sleep still. It very much reminded me of the kind of rhyme pattern of Dr. Seuss, red fish, blue fish.
Mm-hmm.
So one fish, two fish. I liked that. I like that. It's very well done.
Yeah, indeed. Very well written, Mamua. Bravo on this piece. And Diane, where are you taking us next?
Well, next we are going to a piece, and Pam, I apologize, but you will have to read two times in a row because we are going to a piece called Helga, the Dancing Viking by Pam Ray.
All right. I think I can do that. Let me go ahead and get back to Brevity Writers, and there we go. All right. Helga the Dancing Viking, and it goes like this. Helga loves to sing and dance at the Longhorn Bar and Grill.
In her foofy, fluffy undergarments, she gives them all a thrill. The retirement community men all agree she is the best. If only when they stole a kiss, she wouldn't stab them in the chest. But Helga knows what she wants, and nothing else will do. A strong and wild Viking lover who owns a herd of caribou. End poem.
Oh, boy. But Helga knows what she wants, and nothing else will do. So strong and wild Viking lover who owns a herd of caribou. And the retirement community men all agree she is the best. And that picture, oh my gracious, just amazing. Diane, what are your thoughts?
Oh, this is funny. This is hilarious. And Helga, yeah, okay, the retirement community men, and I don't know if they've ever seen Helga, but Helga is just my hero. You know, and she looks like she can handle a herd of caribou, right? Like, she's just coming across as a caribou lady. I totally see her that way. Just an amazing piece, Pam, made me laugh, really well done, and the rhyming is awesome. Just great job.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, just the rhyming just added to the whole piece, you know. If only that when they stole a kiss, she wouldn't stab them in the chest. Maybe that makes me think of what you did. Oh, you put a little piece of yourself in the poem. just amazing, Pam. Amazing. And Diane, where are you taking us next?
Okay, next we are going to A Gray Guitar by Jack Blue. And I'll go ahead and give that a read. The white cathedral rang in blue with silence reigning through. From the door, a noble sound began to wave around. Really, no one was inside but an angel's tide. A romantic rainbow rays reflected ancient days. Then I found a gray guitar talking to the star on the estuary aisle for an endless while. Let this moment be over, revere. End poem. There you go.
Yeah, then just going into a cathedral, and the sound in a cathedral, just amazing. You know, where the echo, the sound, that so many songs are recorded in a cathedral. Just because of that sound there. Just an amazing write here by Jack. So enjoyable and so well read there, Diane. And what are your thoughts, Pam?
Okay, I have to ask before I comment, have we moved on to the voices topic, or are we still in humor?
No, I think, Pam, we just moved on to the next topic.
Okay, I wanted to make sure because, you know, everybody has a different idea of humor. And, you know, so, but I thought this did fit more with the voices. But, you know, I wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
And, I really like this. I like how he wrote about the voice of the guitar. It reminded me of the song, and obviously it's not the song in his AN, but it did remind me of the song when my guitar gently weeps. I really liked this all the way through, but especially then I found a gray guitar talking to the star on the ethereal aisle for an endless while. Such a wonderful thought of the way that music communicates to the universe. So very well done.
Oh, yeah, it's and so beautifully written too, you know. Really no one was inside but an angel's tide of romantic rainbow rays reflected ancient days. I just love the flow and rhyme throughout the whole piece here. And Diane, your thoughts?
I really enjoyed this. You know, I felt too, we've moved on, and now I didn't know what the next topic was, but now I know because this fits so well with, you know, the guitar having its own voice, you know, and the movement and the sound, how it was written with the sound taking us through, almost like going down a serene lake on a canoe. You're just going through and you know, the ripples are slowly going out. And it took me on a journey and a journey through sound and a journey where I actually felt movement. It was a really, really well done piece. I have to check out more of Jack Blue's stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And he's such a wonderful chap. I don't know if he comes from England. Maybe I should say mate. He's such a fun mate. But, you know, he's just, you know, on the group board, whenever we talk to him, he's always so cheerful and always so encouraging. And, you know, so just thank you so much, Jack Blue, for entering and posting. You know, he posts a lot and he's always there supporting the show. And just thank you for that. And Diane, where do we go next?
Next we have a piece up by Barbara G. And it is called Last Words. And Naomi, would you give that a read?
Last Words. From crepe lips, a with issues like threads of smoke in a dying fire. Hold me, she exhales. Her bony hands ceases to tremble. End poem. Wow. You know, there's such strong imagery and emotion throughout this poem. Wow. Yeah. I'm kind of speechless here. Pam, what are your thoughts?
Oh, my goodness. I thought this was a powerful and heartfelt rite on being there for someone in their end, at the end of their life. Hold me, she exhales. Her bony hand ceases to tremble. Oh, my goodness. I mean, just, wow. To capture that moment in so few words really just makes an impact and very well done.
Yeah, indeed. The hold me, she exhales, the bony hand ceases to tremble. Just gives you shivers. So well written. Diane, your thoughts?
Oh, this is powerful. 23 words that is like a 23-page chapter. The end of life, the last words, and what a metaphor! Like threads of smoke in a dying fire. I mean, you're sitting around the campfire and that fire's dying, and you see the smoke around the logs and everything. You know, it's time to go. It's done. It's over. And that's what this poem just kind of took me through. And then when her bony hand stops trembling, then you know she's done and it's over. It's just a powerful piece. It took me as a reader right through personal experiences of my own and comparable and just amazing, powerful how to grab the reader and bring them in. And I have to say one more thing. What a powerful couple of words together, crepe lips. I mean, that just described to me someone that is on their deathbed and their lips are all chapped and broken and crepe lips. I could just see it. It's just beautifully well done.
Yeah, Indeed. We just feel the emotion. You know, the emotion just pours out. Like Pam says, so powerful, this rite. Bravo, Barbara G. You know, just another amazing rite. Where are you taking us next now, Diane?
Next we have Eternal Spring. Or did we do that one? No. Eternal Spring by Kishme. Oh, we did do another one earlier. Okay. Pam, would you like to go ahead and read that?
I would be absolutely happy to. Eternal Spring by Kishme. And it goes like this. Hope eternal spring, imagination spring can bring. Colorful life in bloom, taking away the winter's gloom. Running with arms up high, flowery bed and yellow gold butterflies. Natural scent, I sigh, the moonlight to wait in sight. Under starry skies, waiting for my lover's sign, dreaming under the moon and sky, forethought tomorrow. Savoring eternal spring, moments to borrow, obliterate the sorrows of uncertain tomorrow. End poem.
Oh, what a beautiful rite. You know, you just hear the emotion pour through again in this rite here. Your thoughts, Diane, on this rite?
Oh, this just flowed beautifully. In eternal spring, hope, eternal spring, imagination spring can bring. And in spring does tap into your imagination. Your consciousness when spring comes in, I think, is that a rebirth. It's a chance. It's letting go of winter's nastiness and taking on a refreshing new journey. And yeah, you want to make it eternal. You want an eternal spring because spring is starting over. And how many times in life we don't get the chance to start over, but we'd love to get the chance to start over. And spring does that. And then she talks about the forethought tomorrow, moments to borrow, liberate the sorrows of a certain uncertain tomorrow. So yeah, let's go with spring because we don't know what the next one brings, and let's keep it eternal, to keep it forever. Really, really powerful piece.
Oh, indeed. Powerful is the word here. You know, eternal spring. Amazing, amazing, right, by Kishme here. And I love her imagery all throughout this poem, I have to say. Just beautifully written. And Diane, where does that take us next?
The
comment on that poem?
Yeah, did Pam comment? I don't think
no,
so.
No, I did not. You know, it was a beautiful, heartfelt write. I love their use of imagery. Even the title, Eternal Spring, I like how it spoke of an eternal hope. You know, to me, the use of the nature imagery, there was such a connection of listening to the voice of nature and the comfort and hope found within there. So beautifully written and very well done.
Oh, absolutely. Awesome comment there, Pam. And Diane, where are you taking us next?
Next, we are going to a poem called If I Could by Keiku, and I'll go ahead and read that one. If I could, I would travel the world with a typewriter, listening beyond the windowsill, glimpse of moments, stamping, clicking, fingerprints, ink, capturing your voice like a candid Polaroid, to set it free. To fly in the wind, to finding my way home, and home.
Oh, I've like a little soft spot for this poem, if I could. I just imagine, you know, it's so well written, you know, glimpse of moments beyond the windowsill there, stamping, clinking, clicking, fingerprints inked, capturing your voice, you know, like a candid Polaroid, just so beautifully written all the way through. You know, the way you can capture so much in words, you know, just beautifully written here. What did you think, Pam?
Well, you know, I really liked this. It had a very nostalgic feel, especially with the mention of a typewriter and a mention of the Polaroid. You think of the Polaroid cameras that were very popular in the 1980s and even before that. And wonderful imagery all the way through, and just a great sense of longing and how we try to so perfectly capture within our poetry all those important moments in life that sometimes it's difficult to find the right words. So very well done.
Yeah, it's a great observation there about the nostalgic feeling of the whole piece. It's so true. Diane, your thoughts?
Oh, this piece captures the senses, especially the sense of sound, so well. For me, if I could, and, you know, with a typewriter, travel the world with a typewriter, listening beyond the windowsill, seeing as far as I can out the window, not stopping. There's no limit to what I can see. Glimpses of moments stamping and clicking, and I could actually hear the tick, 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 tick of the keyboard keys and typewriter keys. And then capturing your voice. And I just imagine, you know, like on the paper is coming out the voice of who the reader is describing. And it's just so, the metaphors and the power and the words just really teased my sense of sound.
So much so. So well said there, Diane. Just a wonderful, wonderful right, you know. Sorry, to the prompt, you know, to the theme voices. Wonderful, right, Kaiku. Thank you so much. Where are we going next, Diane?
Well, next we have another piece by our friend Cedar Chapman, and it's called Voices. Pam, would you like to read that?
Sure, I would be happy to. All right, and Voices by Cedar Chapman. And it goes like this. Drowning in a sea of voices with martini glasses clinking and clanking, sound bites fragmented, ruby lips mumble and murmur, as wing-tipped shoes clack, destructive and constructive, wave views and echoes, each finding a home. I stand in a dark corner, holding melted ice cubes. My self-doubt crushes me like a blacksmith's hammer. Oh, to feel the reverberation of somebody's voice. Suddenly, eye contact and a smile. I take a step, euphoric shaking. End poem.
Oh, he captures so well. You know, that moment where you're at a party and you don't know anybody. Oh, that's what I got out of it. And, you know, you're in a corner and you're just saying, oh, please, please, somebody come talk to me. You know, you're kind of like too shy to adventure in, you know, but you hear all the voices of all the people and, you know, just amazing, you know, just amazing, amazing writing all through here. My self-doubt crushes me like a blacksmith hammer. Just amazing. What did you think, Diane?
Oh, this is an awesome piece, too. I'm really enjoying this voices topic and realizing now after saying that, why they all are presenting such beautiful movement and sound is because they're speaking with voices and putting it to words on a platform, and it's beautiful the way it's coming out. And this piece you know, I felt the same thing, you know, this poor little high schooler, you know, standing out in a crowd, standing in a room, or even older, you know, standing in a place where there's a sea of voices, a bar with martini glasses, waiting for that person to make eye contact with you. And it's just such a powerful metaphor. I stand in a dark corner holding melted ice cubes. Like, that's so devastating. That's like the end of the end when the melted ice cubes, they're gone. And is somebody going to catch my gaze? You know, it's just a powerful piece.
Yeah, very relatable to anybody, I think, you know, one moment or other in their life. What did you think, Pam? That was a beautiful read.
Well, thank you. And yeah, this is a wonderful write on the anxiety and the pressure of social situations and the hope that somebody will talk to you. And then I like how the ending, you know, you want somebody to talk to you, but once someone makes eye contact and a smile, that shaking was a perfect word to end on, because there's that fear. You know, like once you get what you want, there's still that fear that the conversation won't go as you hope. Another part that really grabbed my attention was Ruby Lips mumble and murmur as wingtip shoes clack, destructive and constructive waves fuse and echo. To me, there's a real capture of the how when you're in a large room, all the conversation kind of blends together in this beehive-like type noise. So wonderful imagery and very well done.
Yeah, amazing observation there. I love those lines. And, you know, and he finishes it with that line, with each finding a home. You know, they're all seem at home talking with somebody as he stands in a dark corner, you know. So just an amazing, another amazing write here by Cedar Chatman. So bravo. Where do we go next, Diane?
Next, we are going to a poem called Patterns by Quiet Wolf. And would you like to read that, Naomi?
Yes. The patterns. The ocean waves, ebbs and flows, dancing with the wind. A seagull mimics the rhythm of life, in, out, like breathing. Our lives continue, a cadence of our breath, our walk of life. Oh, wow. You know, this is a piece that I chose personally out of Quiet Wolf's poems. And, you know, I thought it just fits so well into the theme of voices, you know. The rhythm you feel, the sound, you know, the rhythm of life, the breathing in and out as your lives continue, as you walk that path, you walk that path of life. Just so beautifully, you know, just an amazingly beautiful brevity here. What are your thoughts, Pam? Hello? Diane, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, can you comment? Maybe Pam had to step away.
Yeah, I sure can. This is a powerful brevity, 34 powerful words. And again, there's that movement. What an awesome topic, because I love reading poetry with movement, you know, and clear movement. And talking about, you know, a cadence to our breath, taking that space out for breathing and walking through life. It's just a beautiful, powerful piece. And you know, dancing with the wind and the seagull, it's like you can feel it, and you can feel the wind. You can feel the salt water air, or the air in the water and stuff. It's just so wonderfully created. It's beautiful.
Yeah, indeed. You know, just a wonderful title to a wonderful, wonderful brevity. And, well, I guess Pam isn't back yet, so we'll just go on to the next piece. So what do you have up for us next, Diane?
Well, next I'm going to ask you to read Naomi, because we have a piece by Naomi Sarah called Spring Sings.
Spring Sings. As dawn undresses to fog, nature sluggishly uncurls, stretching its arms, yawning in warm breath, beckoning in baby blue sky, tender whistling lullabies to the growing grasses, wreathing gingerly underfoot, tickling the peonies and pansies to burst out in bright bold reds from their strawberry jam jars and unfurl their petals. And deep inside me, a feeling of rebirth sprouts. I want to seize the spring, swallow it down, screaming out to all that I am amazingly alive. Poem. And Diane, your thoughts.
Oh, sorry, I just was on mute here. Naomi, this is beautiful. Spring Sings. I love the refreshness to it again. You know, that what spring represents and the rebirth and the growing and, like you say, nature sluggishly uncurling. Like, what a image. Personifying nature to just uncurl and become something, become an entity. It's just, it's powerfully written. And I like your alliteration, beckoning in baby blue sky. It's just so growing grass is written gingerly underfoot. Colorful and well described. You bring in the peonies and the pansies and immediately spring, you just get another refresh of spring when you read that. From their strawberry jam jars, like just so, using so many powerful metaphors and imagery to give the voice of spring, is powerful. Really well done.
Thank you, Diane. And I don't know, Pam, you're just back. Did you get my poem? Are you on mute, Pam?
Sorry, I muted myself, but yes, I am back. This is just a wonderful write all the way through. I too love the alliteration, beckoning in baby blue sky, tender whistling lullabies to the growing grass, which writhing gingerly underfoot. You know, there's such a beautiful and delightful imagery all the way through. And I really like how Diane mentioned that it personifies springs and from their strawberry jam jars. I don't know. I mean, it just, there's a kind of a wonderful idea of sensuality and life, but I'm now hungry for strawberry jam. So, excellent writing, very well done.
My mother makes the best strawberry jam. I'm going to have a piece of toast with that after, with a nice cup of tea. So, thank you, Pam.
Naomi?
Yeah?
Just to let you know, you have area code 757 on.
Oh, hello? Who are we speaking to?
Hello, it's Dash Pat.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
How are you today?
Nervous.
You had a poem on the board, Dash Pat?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to try and find that for you. Do you see it there, Diane?
Can I get the name? Because I'm not hearing. Can you hear the moon's voice?
Yes, Pat.
Awesome. Let's get that one up there.
It's titled On the Floor.
Oh. Did I put up the wrong one?
No, I think you got the right one.
I do have the right one.
No, that's the wrong one.
Oh, I'm going to post the last one, and then I'll look around.
I have it, if you want me to put it up.
If you could,
Diane.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. It's me that posted it, so that's why you didn't see the name. Okay, it's up, Dash Pat. So if you want to go ahead and give your poem a read.
Okay. On the floor, shirt on backwards, I am exhausted, gravity flattened, devoid of affect, straight white jacket, forcibly feeling the mass of my fears.
Wow, what a powerful, powerful, powerful right this is. Gravity flattened, devoid of effect, straight white jacket, forcibly feeling the mass of my fears. You feel them, and throughout this poem, you hear them also. They speak so loudly. Diane, what did you think of Dash Pat's write?
First of all, Dash Pat, good for you for calling in. Thank you for calling in. That's courage and awesome, great job for you for calling in. And you did a wonderful job reading this. And then and I could hear that on the floor, like the hope is gone and you're on the floor and you're at your end and what can you do with the powerlessness. And you're in a state, the shirt's on backwards and the mass of fears and it's what fear is immobilizing and can put you on the floor. And the way you describe this here, beautifully done, like really, really well, powerfully written for so many, so few words. Really impressed.
Can I say something? I wanted to say that I am the voice in this poem for my fellow people that have Parkinson's. We use the term on the floor a lot amongst people with Parkinson's, and it just means that you're having a bad day.
Oh, wow, that's powerful. That is, now that you say that, it's like, thank you so much for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for such a, such a powerful write. It sounds so, comes out so sincere in your words and so powerful. Pam, your thoughts on the Dash Pat's write?
Well, first of all, Dash Pat, I'm glad you called in to read your poem. Two things I love about poetry is, one, we can use it to speak for ourselves, and not just for ourselves, but for a group of people that need spoken for, that within this, that you can be the voice for people who suffer and who deal with Parkinson's disease. But I also like how poetry is, open to interpretation, and how, being on the floor and being exhausted can mean so many different things to so many different people. Just a powerful imagery, gravity flat and devoid of effect. The idea, there's such an idea of feeling trapped
and feeling helpless within those lines. And excellent write and very well done.
Oh, yes,
thank
so
you.
Much. So good, Dash Pat. And, you know, thanks for phoning in. And, you know, that was very courageous of you. And, you know, you're always welcome any time to post a poem and, you know, to any of the themes that are up and, you know, phone in again. And do you want to stay with us for a while and comment and read, or do you have to go?
I can stay.
Okay. Super. Okay. Well, we'll have time just for maybe one more poem or two there, depending on how long it takes. But thank you very much. Diane, where are you taking us next?
Okay, next we are going to a piece called Forgotten by Darkened Auras. And Naomi, would you like to read that?
Yeah, Forgotten. Beyond the broken window pane, our withered branched off, insane. Echoes wail in the whistled wind without anyone on which they can depend. Past the old forgotten Aslim door, spirits broken, living gruesome chorus, lost lonely souls kept tucked away, now trapped within, they'll always stay. We really feel, you know, the voices of those that are forgotten. Behind this is actually a poem that was in my door contest. But I thought it fitted in the theme with the voices. You know, you hear all the echoes wail in the whistled wind, all those echoes, you know, from those people that are forgotten behind those doors. What did you think, Dashpad? I'll give you first thought on this poem. Hello, Dashpad?
Sorry about that. I was on mute.
Okay.
I like how the poem gives a voice to people that were hospitalized in the past for mental illness. And that period of time should be discussed because I think people were hidden away and forgotten.
Yeah, so true. Yeah, there was a time when, you know, they were just tucked away. Here, even in the mental hospitals. They found out that children or people were there, you know, orphans, and they didn't even have mental problems. And, you know, they just stuck in there because the government didn't know what to do with them. And Pam, your thoughts on this poem?
Oh, I like this. This is a beautiful, haunting, dark write about those voices from the past. Those people who have gotten, who are forgotten in their suffering. Wonderful imagery and very well done.
So well said there, Pam. And Diane, your thoughts?
You know, this is so sad and powerful. Forgotten is the word. It describes it beautifully. You know, these people are forgotten, and quite often they're forgotten even by the people attending to them. And like the poem says, you know, without anyone on which they can depend, because sometimes in behind those asylum doors, that's what you get, is you get people locked away, forgotten. And when you're on shift, you just want to forget too, because you just got to get through your 8 hours. It's sad that they're forgotten. Beautiful, beautiful piece and really well written.
Yeah, just an amazing, amazing piece here by Darkened. Her name is Darkened Oras, and her writing is just amazing every time. And guys, I have a message from Kate, and she says that she's listening into the show, and I am having lots of fun and seafood, lovely, nice local market tomorrow. That'll be fun too, and I'll drop in again, and I'm missing you all. And she's saying bye and hi to us all. So, hi. So, hello,
well,
Kate, and
wonderful.
Have well, that wraps up our show. Thank you so much, Dashpat, for phoning in, and phone in again anytime.
Thank you.
Check out our themes on the board and for our upcoming shows. Next week we'll have one on dark rites. So if you have any dark rites, brevities, 100 words or less, just drop that in. And thanks again so much for phoning in. And I want to just say thank you to everybody who wrote for the shows. We still have some carryovers from the Voices theme that we'll get to next Wednesday. And of course, first thing, we'll put on those audios for everybody, those carryovers that had audios, so that we'll get those done. And I just want to say a good afternoon to my co-hosts, Pam and Diane. This was a fun afternoon. I hope you had fun too. And good afternoon and goodbye. Goodbye to you too.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you so much. Great day, guys.